Bulldog.
How many bees is a swarm? Is two a swarm or three? Whatever. How many does it have to be?
And be like seven.
It's Mike Shope.
How many times do you have to be stung to have been swarmed? And I was like, dude, I got swarmed. I got stung only once, but I was swarmed.
And the Bulldog.
You insist you were swarmed.
There were bees, man. Like, plural. Big, lots of S's. Lots of E's and S. Bees. That was not
bees.
Fun.
Bees.
Right. That was not fun.
On WGR.
Hey, man. That kind of hurt.
Sports Radio 550.
Football Tuesday. Do we have that? No, we don't have that.
You can make it anything you want, buddy. Your name's on the marquee.
Oh, good point. We are at Roswell Park today, downtown. So the next Sabres game is Friday night against the Islanders, and that would be Hockey Fights Cancer. So one reason why we're here today is to help promote that. Roswell has been partners with us for a
couple of years now.
A pretty good amount of time. And so we're trying to raise awareness for Friday and honor those affected by cancer. You can get your tickets for the game at roswellpark.org/hockeyfightscancer. 50-50 raffle opportunities. And we'll be here in the main lobby here throughout the day. I think usually this is like live music. Every time I've been here, there's a piano player or a small
right
band.
Yep.
I don't think I want to play.
Yeah, I
don't want to embarrass.
I'm not equipped to. I mean, there's a couple little things I could try to figure out, but it's not. You know,
is there not anything you could play on the piano? I could play "Hall of the Mountain King."
I mean, you got me beat. I can play like a little bluesy rhythm, like da 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 da. But that's really it.
That's pretty much "Hall of the Mountain King."
Oh yeah,
that's very similar to all Grieg, top composer.
Yeah. I was.
Well, let's not do that.
No, I'm not.
Leave the piano alone.
I mean, you can't even get me to play one of my guitars when I'm in my attic, and I'm familiar with those instruments.
Yes, you know how to play guitar.
Kind of.
That's right.
Yeah.
One of my regrets in life is not staying with the piano. Is it too late?
No,
probably is.
There's still time.
Probably is too late.
You're fine.
It's way too late.
Never too late.
Don't they say with instruments you have to be like sort of great at it by like seven?
I'm 52. They say. Who's they? The heck with they. You can do whatever you want. My wife bought me the first nice guitar I ever owned in like the winter of 2009. And I had never like knew how to really play. I could play a couple things. But you remember this, I think. I think I talked about it at least a couple times. My kids were at an age where I thought it was important that they see their dad learning something new.
Oh,
so
I hate this story.
I sort of applied myself.
I hate this story.
And, you know, I thought it would be, you know, hopefully something they could carry with them. Like, I'm never going to be too old to try, you know, a new trick, so to speak. So get a piano. Find one is the swap sheet still published?
The swap sheet? I mean, is Beat the Champ on?
Yes.
On Saturday?
Beat the Champ is coming back. Paul Peck is hosting it. I'm not
kidding.
Are you
serious?
Yes. The swap sheet's got to be coming up right behind.
Yeah, if Beat the Champ, then
right.
Swap sheet. That's got to be just like, what about that horse racing thing with Kevin O'Connell? Let's go to the races. Or day at the. What was that? Where you had like a little ticket from Bell's? And if you got the number 5 and the number 8 from Santa Anita or something, then you won milk. Wasn't that it?
Yes.
I loved that.
Right.
That was appointment television.
Right. I mean.
Let's go to the races. Yeah. I want to say that's what it was called.
I don't remember the name, but I remember the concept.
Is Kevin O'Connell right for that show?
I think so.
I think it is.
Yeah, I think so.
Before he went to L.A. to host game shows?
Yeah. Barry Lillis was Bowling for Dollars.
Barry Lillis and Chuck Healy, but those are a little bit before my time,
Well, Chuck Healy was Beat the Champ. Chuck Healy was Channel 4. Beat the Champ was a Channel 4 joint. Bowling for Dollars, I think, was Channel 2, and that's where Barry Lillis was a Channel 2 guy.
How are these two ratings gods? That's what the listeners right now can't figure out.
Right. How is this show still on the
air? How is this even a thing? Let's get to work. It is Tuesday, and that means it is time for Reverse AFC Power Rankings, powered by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit EmpireElectricians.com. Guess what?
We don't have the sheets.
Nope. We are on remote today, and I have no idea of last week's order, which I think is probably good.
Sure.
It shouldn't matter what last week's order was.
That's right. That's right.
And a lot really has happened
since
then.
Yeah.
But I will call the standings up because you want to be a little bit informed. It's an election year.
It's helpful to, well, if nothing else, it helps prevent the forgetting of a team. Although that's happened numerous times to me, and I'm looking at the standings every week when we do this. But, you know, not having the sheets, I feel like if we, you know, we could turn this into like the Saturday Night Live skit when the teleprompters broke.
Oh.
I don't even know what NFL teams are. Where's the sheets? I'm so confused.
Well.
Are the LA Kings a football team? Where are they rated?
I want to say a thing, but I don't think I really mean it. 16. Can I have sort of like a freebie that I don't really mean, but I want to sort of mention this team for the joke that they are? Indianapolis. Good luck to the Indianapolis Colts with Joe Flacco. That should go great.
They'll probably win.
They might win. Their receivers are suddenly fantasy relevant. Their fourth overall pick from last year, who is, I mean, not Bryce Young, is like what at this point? What is he, trade bait? Is he just, oh, he's going to benefit from watching games. He watched literally 12 games last year. Injured. Like, this is what you're going to do? Everything looks hard. And this coach is supposed to be good at making stuff easy for a young quarterback.
Listen, I don't think we'll get a straight answer on this from anyone involved. I feel very strongly that he would not be getting benched if he hadn't taken himself out of that game in the third quarter like he did, because he was tired. And then after the game said, well, I was tired.
Yeah.
I mean, do you know what football is? Like, you're the quarterback. What are you doing? You are not – it's not a line change, dude. Like, I could not believe he did that. And I think the optics of that for the team, for the players on the team, it's like, our quarterback's an idiot.
It's the owner's call, right? What is it?
Probably.
You know,
I'm not saying that makes it right, but I have a real struggle if that guy's my quarterback, and that, like, good luck living that down. you're going to be hearing about it forever.
I know.
What a bad thing.
Still.
Just lie. Oh, my hamstring tightened up or whatever. Something. I think Eric Wood suggested that yesterday. I brought it up to him.
I saw Micah Parsons say that, too. Just pretend.
Just, yeah, whatever.
I mean.
Tough one, yeah.
So. This can't be better. This can't be. I mean, what is the best case scenario?
They win 9 or 10 games and make the playoffs.
And then lose.
Right.
To an actually good team. And then next year, what, Richardson?
Put him back in.
I mean, what is the, there's no vision here at all. Hate it. Are they the worst team in the conference? The Bills play them in Indianapolis next week?
They're not.
Probably not. I just wanted to sort of cheat the game and mention them.
I feel like Tennessee is a reasonable choice here. I mean, what are they? Where are they at quarterback? They're nowhere. They're just getting curb stomped.
And you know who isn't nowhere is Cleveland,
right?
Anymore at quarterback.
Is Jameis Winston somewhere?
Well, they have no choice. Like, they with Watson and the belief that they were never taking him out because of his contract, they were easily the worst. I mean, that was just like, you are doomed. He gets hurt, maybe permanently, and this, I mean, look what happened.
Right, but are they going to commit? They still might be nowhere at quarterback after this year.
No, that's right. I mean, they'll win 5 or 6 games now.
Yeah.
And draft the fourth best guy. But for right now, they're not Tennessee, Vegas. Tennessee's nowhere.
Tennessee is dead. They're dead now. They're dead next year. Like, they're dead. They're not going anywhere.
16 Tennessee.
So they are 16.
15 Raiders.
I like the Raiders here. Sure.
Okay.
Of the 2 and 6 teams, I mean, they and the Jets are the teams that I think have the darkest outlook, you know, short term and long term. Because long-term, they have no answer at this point. And short-term, I mean, what is happening?
I'm holding a pro-Jets take in my pocket. It's the last one in existence. It's certainly my last one, but I am holding it.
All right. Well, I say Raiders 15, I'm good.
Okay, 14.
I think I'm going to say Jets. You ready to dust off this take? You need me to say some stuff? You see the stats on the defense? Like, since they fired Salah, their defense is the worst expected points against per play in the league. It was the one thing they had, they were supposed to have. Like, Rodgers, all Rodgers has to do is be in the middle of the pack. Okay, how's that going? And now the defense is cratering on top of it.
Jacksonville.
Yeah, no, the Jets.
Pro Jets take.
No, that's not my indirectly. Zach is on the Jets?
I'm on the Jets.
13, Jacksonville.
Fine.
Brian Thomas hurt.
Yeah,
Kirk out for the year. Kirk would have been fun, another trade candidate, but that's the argument for taking a guy out. But they weren't giving up on their season, and they lose him for the year, broken collarbone. So that's written. 13? Jags?
Yeah, fine. Yeah, sorry.
12. Patriots.
I'm going to say Patriots, jerk.
They beat the Jets. It's hard to...
But that's really it.
Deny them that.
Right.
With Brissett.
With Brissett is right.
Minus 20-point differential is all I've got on the Jets. Like, their losses are close. And what do you want to do with that? Nobody wants to do anything with that. All we all want to do is make fun of them. So, go. Fine.
It's one of the most fun things in the world to do is to make fun of the Jets.
They're not that bad. They're not one of these other teams that are hopeless. But
really?
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't think they are. They're going to play Houston Thursday night, which has plus 9 at 6-2, and the Jets are minus 20 at 2-6. Jets is the play on Thursday night. 12.
Well, I hope they beat them.
Yeah, you hope I'm right.
This week and this week only. All right, where are we?
I'm not writing these down, so it's a little bit sort of life on the wire. 12. Indianapolis.
I'm not going to get in the way of that either.
11.
I got
Miami.
I got to go Cleveland.
I was going to go Cleveland.
We didn't do them yet?
No.
Okay. Fine. 10. Miami.
No, I'm good with Miami here. I'm good.
Yeah, all right. I'll hold my fire.
I was getting ready to defend him too, and I just
say the next number.
9.
Bengals. That's who I was. Tua back. They may get off the mat. The Bengals. I don't know how down on the mat they are. They just keep losing. It's not like they're knocked out. I mean, they were down Higgins last week, and I'm sure that had some impact on them. But.
Listen, here, I'm going to say a thing. Ready? Houston.
Hold on. Okay, now.
The Bills are in the playoffs. Something happens, and I don't want to guess at what that would be. Who would you rather have to play if you're the Bills in the playoffs, the Bengals or the Texans? At home.
Texans, 100%.
Easily.
I don't even think it's close.
Right? Houston is my pick at 9. You're on Cincinnati.
I'm using the playoff one, Houston, yeah.
Houston at 9. Oh, wow. Bulletin board fodder.
I love how this worked out for me. I love it.
8. Bengals?
Bengals, sure, yeah. I said that because for folks who haven't been keeping track of this all year long, we keep track of Howard Simon's record picking the Bills. Well, Brayton Wilson does it.
No. I have literally charts in my basement on the wall.
But all summer,
so he's not,
Houston
not just Brayton.
Was up in the top tier, and I kept saying, I don't think they're made yet. The point differential wasn't that good. Who they beat last year, it was on and on and on. So I'm glad that it you guys both got to them, and I wasn't even thinking I'd get it past you.
Listen,
that early.
As you know, neutral fantasy Mike, it's too bad that they did not get like their full complement
really
of receiver, yeah. really ever. Like, they basically buried Dell early off a broken leg, and then they lose Collins in the Bills game. Then they lose Diggs for the year now. That's tough.
Right. They had a like that first half with Collins, that all three of them, like that.
That was it, but they were not really throwing the ball to Tank Dell. I don't know. Like, PFF Bobby, he wants to run it, so maybe that was never going to be a thing. But yeah. With the Diggs injury, Collins will be back in two games, but the Diggs injury quashes the idea of the Texans, like sort of the ceiling outcome for the Texans. So Cincinnati, Houston 9, Cincinnati 8, is that where we're at?
Yes.
7.
Chargers?
Denver.
Denver, wow.
I trust Herbert more, yeah, Denver.
The Chargers, they have had their bye. 91 points allowed in 7 games.
That seems
second best is 119 in the league. They have had their bye. Pittsburgh is not. Pittsburgh's probably a better rate. But Chargers for me at 7, 6. Where are we?
Did Denver go 7 and then the Chargers at 6?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that how we did that just now?
I think so.
So we're into the top.
I'm not sure. We've used up the entire AFC South. 1, 2. I've got 4 teams left.
We didn't do 5 yet, did we?
I don't know.
We're on 5 now. We got Cincinnati, then Denver.
Did we? Yes, you're right. You're right. No, that's the 5th. You're right. 5 Bengals. It's a joke. That is bad.
That is such a
horrible
job.
Bad.
Yeah.
The Bengals should have been in front of Denver and the Chargers. Right?
Probably.
They're not dead, though. So maybe this will look good. Maybe right. Historians will look back on
right.
this show. Bengals at 5. 4.
Steelers?
Yeah. Steelers. 3.
I'm going to say Ravens.
Bills.
I said Ravens. Zach?
Ooh. Bills.
If only these teams played.
I know. It was so long ago now.
Bills at 3?
Yes.
2? Baltimore.
Sure. I can't put them ahead. They were ahead of Kansas City last week. You can't lose to Cleveland. And the Raiders, by the way, if you need it. I mean, that's Baltimore. That's why I would have pushed the Bills ahead of them, honestly. But Chiefs are 1. Or, yeah.
Do you know who they play this week?
Who, Baltimore?
Mm-hmm. Presumably with Deontay Johnson.
Oh, that trade just happened. Please say it, because I already forgot who he got traded to.
Baltimore.
Oh, wait, no. Well, who do they play? Yeah, I don't.
Denver.
Yeah, Denver. Thank you.
Denver at Baltimore.
All right.
What's the line?
Baltimore minus 4.
9.5.
Jesus.
Never. Anybody wants to play guess the line with themselves.
Thank you for not giving the I'm really good at that speech before I botched that by 5 points.
You forgot the one critical piece. The market always loves the Ravens.
Yeah.
And usually they're right. 9.5. All right, there it is. Reverse AFC power rankings here from Roswell Park. Powered by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit EmpireElectricians.com. What did I miss yesterday?
Football Monday. Eric Wood. It was fine. I feel great about the Bills right now. I just feel 6-2. I don't think anybody's too good for them. I'm not they look like the best team in the league, where I was like after 3 games, I think. But I'm right back to I think they can handle anybody, even Baltimore. Like Baltimore's lost to Cleveland. They're not some super team. They smashed you, but give me them in January. I feel great about the Bills. I think their offense is evolving. The amount of faith they appear to be regaining in Allen to sort of be the main part of their offense, I'm very encouraged.
And it's the other side of the ball, too.
Right.
They're really, I think, rankings-wise, very similar offense and defense through eight games. And their defense has been through a lot worse. The off-season changes, Milano, Bernard in and out.
Right, you go into a game in Seattle. This is not to validate an opinion that turned out to be unfounded or wrong. Like, worried about getting through the game without Terrell Bernard. And they just shut them down.
I mean, who thought about him
just,
once?
Just shut him down, right?
In that game, right?
Just throttled him.
233 yards total for the Seahawks in that game. And that's with garbage time. Like, the fourth quarter was all garbage time. And they did have a touchdown drive in, you know, that mode. But still, 233 yards. Only two turnovers, not like five for a stat line like that. Really good. I mean, that's just really a credit to McDermott and the operation over there. It's all been said. Sal's said it many times. We've talked about it many times. Just the continuity, guys who have been backups on this team that get to play because of an emergency, an injury, and they hold up. And that is just – that is rare in the NFL. Yep. And that is fully to the coach's credit and the organization's credit and the players. But to do that, I mean, that's the hard part of that game. You and I both thought both teams would score in that game. Metcalf was a big loss for Seattle. The Bills were lucky there, but still, like 10 points, 233 yards, that's a season low for a Bills opponent. Quarterback was healthy, running back was he had been productive and healthy, and just Metcalf. And still, like, just nothing happened.
Right, leading passing yardage team in the league, and they got shut down.
Yeah,
so,
really good.
Good. I'm glad we got a few minutes on McDermott because, you know, it rains hard on him when they lose a close game like they lost in Houston. But and you're not inclined to, like, talk about how good that side of the ball went necessarily when, you know, we're focused on the offense and Cooper and all this stuff. It was a great job by them on Sunday out there. Just a great job.
They still only get the three spot in the
I wanted to push them to two.
Reverse AFC power.
I got shut down.
Trista Crick, after a break, check up on Trista. Check in with Trista going into week nine. We will also talk to Ross Tucker today. We're live at Roswell Park this afternoon. Hockey Fights Cancer Friday night. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
I got a call that this was happening. And I reached out to a couple of people to confirm. And I spoke to some people on other teams. And when I said, hey, my sense is that they're benching Anthony Richardson, the reaction I got from some very smart people was like, of course they're benching him. Like, it wasn't even an option. I couldn't believe how strong people were. And so when I heard that, I'm like, okay, this is happening.
Adam Schefter, of course. I was watching him Sunday morning talking about fantasy football on the ESPN2 Fantasy Focus show. And he, to some injury situation or lineup situation, said, like, literally, a buddy called me this morning to ask me about a certain player. Do you think there's anybody – do you think Adam Schefter takes calls from his friends – on Sunday mornings? Like, could you really, if you were his, if it was you and me, and you know, or whatever, like, your best friend is Adam Schefter, do you literally call him on a Sunday morning to ask him if so-and-so is going to play?
Well, I don't call anyone. But
who calls anyone?
Right. He said called, not texted.
He said called.
Wow.
I wrote it down.
What was this, his dad?
His buddy.
The only time my phone rings, it's my parents. Yeah, or like some political thing that I hang up.
I have not answered the phone in 11 years. Mm. He's doing it for his friends who want to know if Michael Pittman is active. Yeah. I don't know. That's what he said. On the Western Hotline now is Trista Crick, Octagon personality, formerly BetMGM, Credenza enthusiast. Trista, how are you?
I feel you're lying to the good folks of Buffalo because I've called you multiple times before on the phone, ring, ring, and you pick up and we
That's
talk.
True. You're right. You are the one person you're right.
Actually. I'm so glad you're on the line right
you're
now.
You're right. I didn't I'm sorry. I don't want it to be called lying.
Lie.
You're right. I didn't mean it to be lying.
He's lying.
Right Generally, now. I don't answer the phone. You're right. You're right. We are literally talking to one person whose calls I take. You're right. I wish I could walk it back.
How many more of these people are out there waiting to call in right now?
If Bulldog gave me his number, he'd answer for me, too.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, you would, boy. If I had your phone number and we were texting, and then there was a reason I called you, you would pick that phone
I actually
up.
Would, because I care enough about you that I might think you're calling me. There's got to be a good reason. You're in Niagara Falls, Ontario, and you need help or something, whatever. Like, you're close enough by that I could be of assistance, so I would be compelled to pick up the phone.
Yeah, it's fair.
But if I found out you were just hanging out in Portland or D.C. or wherever you jet set around to, Portland and D.C., jet settable, probably not. I exaggerated. I'd be like, you called me for this?
To be fair, there's always a reason for the call. Usually there's a pressing matter.
You're right. I pick up when I'm driving. That's the case. All right, Trista. So do you want to get any more Jets stuff off your chest here? We have two.
Yeah, I do.
Had two living survivor entries. One of them went down with the Jets in week 8.
And I want to just say that, like, the mentality of just taking whoever is playing the Cowboys, I think, is hitting, for the most part, at about 100% in terms of teams that you would actually take against them, like the Ravens, like the Niners. So, I mean, that's why kind of wanted it. We did have a scare, a little bit of a scare at the end, but that would have come home because my team is trash, but the Jets are trashier and we should not have taken them.
What do you think Dallas's final record is?
Oh, that's a great question. I think there's 8 wins at maximum.
Really? Oh, that's playable, right, Trista? Like under 8.5 for the season?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
I think they lose to the Commanders twice. I think they beat the Giants. I think they probably lose to the Eagles twice. So, yeah, I mean, it's just a bad season. This is going to be, like, just look at Genty from Boise State, and you say that's what we get from this abysmal season.
Right. That's right. At, like, 3 overall. That'd be so Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. I mean, I'd have to give them credit at least for not having, like, decrepit old has-been running backs like Dalvin Cook and Ezekiel Elliott. At least that would be an improvement on that, but holy cow. Yeah. What's the timeline? I know, recognizing they just played on Sunday night, but I did not catch any update on, like, the defensive guys. They're down. Lawrence and Parsons especially. Like, are they coming back anytime soon or no?
I think that is TBD. They're being very tight-lipped with it. And it's just doomed. The season's just doomed, guys. And ultimately, whether there's injuries or not, you just have to be better. You have to have a next man up mentality. And ultimately, I've said this a million times, but the roster's just not good enough.
Boy, if you're right, and we'll move on, but if you're right about their division games coming up, the bottom could really fall out. Their non-division games are usually, most of them are against teams that could really have a stake. Atlanta this week, Houston, Cincinnati, Tampa Bay is in there too, Carolina. But they're going to be playing some teams with big stakes, like make the playoffs or not in some of these cases. So I wonder if it falls apart there. How about the Bills at this point? Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, yeah, Eagles will be a loss. Texans will be a loss. Commanders loss. Bengals loss. Buccaneers probably a loss. Eagles loss. Commanders loss. I mean, so you're talking about the Giants. You're talking about the Falcons. You're talking about the Panthers.
Yeah.
So it could be 6. Could be 6 wins.
How about Buffalo at 6-2? Josh Allen is the new MVP favorite, Trista.
Here we go. It just keeps popping back and forth in terms of the MVP odds. I mean, finally get Shakir back. He looked really good. Keon Coleman looked good. obviously, you know, big trade was made to get another target for Josh Allen, which I like a lot. So, obviously, then Deontay Johnson goes to the Ravens, which I think is going to be impactful in terms of just the AFC as a whole. But, yeah, like, the division stinks. You're going to run away with it. That's just what it is. Like, who knows what's happening with the Dolphins? I don't think they're any good. Jets, we talked about, and Patriots, they're good for some, you know, like, stink wins that they pull out against teams that they shouldn't beat, but ultimately you're going to sail into the playoffs, winning the division, top seed, and we'll just see. But I do like the way that James Cook is playing. I like the way that the offense is running. You know, things feel back to being like what we expect from the Bills. Like, when the offense is not operating at all cylinders, that's when we start to get concerned.
Did you get an eyeful of the swag? I'm reluctant to use that phrasing because I'm a 59-year-old man. But Keon Coleman, like, style was off the charts on Sunday. Did you see he had red and blue cleats to match red and blue gloves? And the deal he had going with Reek Woolen, like, Woolen knocked down a jump ball throw in the end zone, I think on first down, and then was really went in on Coleman. And Coleman just sort of tilted his head and took it and walked away. And then two plays later, I think it was, Coleman catches, same play on the other side of the field, makes the play, and, like, taps Woolen on the head like he's a teammate. Like, good job. Nice rep. I the style is off the charts with this kid.
I know. I'm looking at the photo again right now. He's just one of the most likable dudes that you could possibly have. And as someone who feels bad for Steph Diggs and the injury, the ACL season ending, likes Stephon Diggs, has interviewed him a bunch of times, thinks he's a nice guy. Like, Keon he doesn't seem to have any negative vibes in his soul, right? So he's going to be a vibe guy. He kind of reminds me a little bit like Tyrese Maxey, just always happy, glass always more than half full, is able to, like, really translate that and the marketability, and also is producing on the field. I mean, I wasn't a huge fan of the pick. I was kind of, like, in favor of the Xavier Worthy pick. But now that he's there, I just think it's a great fit.
Trista Crick with us, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, out at Roswell Park today. So, Super Bowl. You've got Kansas City at 7-0, but another game where they just don't look really that good. If you didn't have the recent years, you wouldn't necessarily be. They might be one of these teams we seem to get every season where the record's great, but the eye test just doesn't really work. And I don't know. NFC is just, I mean, Washington. NFC is Detroit. Kind of anybody. Yeah. Detroit, yes.
Yeah.
Detroit. Detroit Green Bay this week is really good, especially if Love plays.
I think of the NFC teams, I looked at the odds yesterday, and I thought it was pretty interesting. I think San Francisco was the second favorite for the Super Bowl in the NFC. I think it's Detroit, Kansas City, Detroit, San Francisco, and then the Bills, I think, are fourth. But I was surprised to see San Francisco. They've had kind of an uneven start. Maybe that's just a bet on some guys getting healthy, especially McCaffrey. Obviously, Ayuk's not coming back.
And first place is 4-4.
Right, right.
So, and is there a bet here you like, Trista? Is there a play?
To me, it's, I hate to say it, but, like, part of it is wondering whether Washington is a team of destiny, whether they're a team that could really make waves in the NFC as a whole, right? Like, the thing that is interesting to me for Washington is not just how the offense is running, but how the defense is. You're talking about the ninth best defense in the NFL in total DVOA, which is a nerd stat that a bunch of nerds use, and so I use it too. So they were the worst defensively in every single category last year. Pass defense, you could basically take the player props of every wide receiver one going up against Washington to get over 100 yards. And now that's just really not the case, right? Like, they're holding teams to somewhat low-scoring games, and Jaden Daniels is him. He just absolutely has it. Even with him being banged up, whatever that clutch gene is, he has it straight away. And so you look at Washington, you look at how the NFC East is shaking out, kind of like it's just them and pretty much everyone else, and I don't think that Philly really is there comparatively. And you say Dan Quinn, I think, has this defense shaped up now. And the offense with Terry McLaurin, they've got a real running game. They've got two-headed monster in the running game. They've got multiple guys, like Zach Ertz is kind of having a reemergence as well. He's become like a little bit of a security blanket for Jaden. So I as a Cowboy fan, this pains me. But really what I'm seeing is feeling like it could be worth at least a bet. I like Detroit, obviously, like I have. I don't like San Francisco. There's just not a lot in the NFC that you can really feel great about. Packers as well, I kind of like. That NFC North as a whole is kind of like, I don't really know what to make of it.
I still have not. Maybe it's because it's the favorite. I've never been comfortable leaning into Detroit. That game against Tennessee was really stupid. Like, we mentioned how the Bills Bulldog gave up, was it 233 yards? Mm-hmm. The Lions gained fewer yards on Sunday than Seattle did.
Yeah.
And they won by 38.
They scored 50. They had like 85 passing yards.
I mean, just
it was a bunch of returns and stuff.
They had one drive longer than 26 yards, and they scored 52 points. I mean, that doesn't have to be a sign that they're not great or at least good. That division is so good, though, I think still, that the Washington idea has merit. If you think the Cowboys are bad, the Giants are bad, and Philadelphia is kind of mid, so maybe Washington gets to a place where they're playing at home in the playoffs. That's kind of crazy.
I have been feeling very much, I think, even in our conversations with you, Trista, like Philadelphia was in real trouble, but maybe they got right. I mean, there was a lot of encouraging stuff from Hurts, not just the three rushing touchdowns, but, you know, the passing stuff down the field. There was a lot of good stuff there. There's always been a lot of talent. It was just like the vibes were all messed up with Sirianni and Hurts, and maybe they got it all ironed out.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, but we should also keep in mind that the Cincinnati Bengals defensively are buns. So I think they're 18th in total defense, kind of very mid. They got... I mean, it was a hell of a comeback, too, right? Cincinnati had the lead early on. So I'm not ready to say that yet. I need the Eagles to do this against good defenses before I can truly say I think that this offense is potent. Like, they got 16 points against the Buccaneers. That's just not good enough. 20 against the Browns. So, like, if you're going up against the Giants and the Bengals and you're putting up points there, I just need to see it against, you know, better defenses, which we won't really see until probably the Commanders game on November 14th at home.
Trista, always a pleasure. We got to run. Thanks for your time.
No, I've got to run.
Okay, well, let's race.
That's later.
Trista Crick, Octagon, Credenzas, etc. We will have Ross Tucker on at 5. Next, Cheryl Rachek here from Roswell Park talking about lung cancer screening. We will do that after a break. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Schoep and the Bulldog, Ross Tucker at 5 today, 803-0550 for your calls. We'll get into the Bills win and the Sabres a little bit too and much more next hour. We're at Roswell Park today, and it's our pleasure and honor to have Cheryl Rachek with us, a PA for Roswell's Eddy Mobile CT Lung Cancer Screening Unit. And Cheryl, let's start with what Eddy means or is.
Yes, thank you for having us. Eddy stands for Early Detection Driven to You. So Roswell Park has a bus, a truck, that we move locations every single week to make it convenient for people to be assessed for lung cancer screening. A risk factor for lung cancer is cigarette smoking, so national guidelines follow cigarette smoking, so you have to be ages between 50 and 80 and have a cigarette smoking history of 20 years or plus, or you have quit smoking but have done so in the last 15 years, so you are still eligible. So Eddy moves around. Patients are pre-registered. Basically, you can go on the website at Roswell and look at roswellpark.org/Eddie, E-D-D-Y. And it gives you our criteria and information, and you can fill out a form there that to see if you qualify, and somebody will call you back. Unfortunately, we do require prior authorization with the insurance companies to screen patients for mm-hmm. lung cancer screening. But, you know, we're not quite there yet. The reason we have Eddie is to be moving around for better compliance with patients. A lot of patients don't even know that they're eligible for this. And basically, it's annual CT scans to keep a very close eye on their lungs. And, if, gosh forbid, if lung cancer is going to happen, we catch it early, where it's very treatable. So, nationally, on average, the compliance rate is 6%, which is nowhere near such as like colonoscopies or mammograms are. Right. So, and the lung cancer or the primary care doctors are so busy. You know, we want to help, so that's why we're moving around. We've been going down to the southern tier, down to Jamestown, Olean, all the way over to Niagara Falls, out to next week we're at Cattaraugus County. So every week we're moving around, and there's only a very few in the entire country that is doing this.
That's awesome. I was just going to ask you, how wide a net do mm-hmm. you cast? How many days a week are you out with the truck?
So,
and where is the truck? Can we see this truck? I'd like to visit this.
And is it called Eddie?
Well, we refer to it as Eddie, yes. And it's got a nice big Eddie logo on
all
the
right,
side so people can identify it. We're in South Buffalo this week, but we are going to be at the Sabres games coming up here. This Friday is the Hockey Fights Cancer Night. The truck won't be there that, but the following day on Saturday, the 9th, November 11th, and November 14th next week, or in 2 weeks, actually,
yep.
The truck will be outside the arena over by the
awesome.
French Connection statues, is my understanding.
Is it purple?
It's kind of the Roswell colors, the blue, white. You can't miss it. It's got a massive logo on it. And you can come in if you have questions. You can stop in. We're very friendly people. We're not scary. So, you know, we won't sweep you away. We want to just keep an eye on you. And we can help with smoking cessation, but it's not required. The main purpose is to keep a close eye on these people.
Very good, Cheryl. Well, we're very happy and honored to be here today and be a part of the Roswell team, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
We've enjoyed getting to know a lot of you,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
who work here. And there's just nothing like hearing that bell ring.
Oh, I know. It just happened a few minutes ago. It's so heartwarming, so emotional, so many feelings. So, you know, we want to be on the preventive side, you know, Roswell mm-hmm. Park. We're not always about the treatment. We want to jump ahead of this cancer. And so, and thank you for having me, and thank you. And we hope, you know, please reach out to us, roswellpark.org/Eddie, please.
Thank you, Cheryl. Cheryl Raychek. roswellpark.org/Eddie, E-D-D-Y. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here, back after the update on WGR.